Word of God, the Word of God, God's Word spoken to you, planted into your heart, that seed of God's Word will produce. And when it produces, that's called faith. And the ground that it's being produced in is your heart. I love what Pastor Charles said Sunday. He said, God doesn't bless soil, he blesses seed. And that's right. It's the same thing with the heart. You can't live in hope all the time and expect miracles. Now, you got to understand something. When I'm talking about miracles, usually we talk about miracles, we're thinking about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking. Miracles, right? But actually, miracles should just be the promises of God operating in our life here on this earth. You know, it's given to us in heaven. It's prepared for us in heaven. And then it came from heaven to earth. And when it comes to earth, it should be a natural occurrence. But we call it a miracle because it happens so frequently, it's a miracle. But it shouldn't be that way. I don't think God ever intended it that way. I don't think God ever intended for it to be a big deal to part the Red Sea. Or to provide prosperity for you, or to provide joy for you, or to provide healing for you, or to provide health for you, or to provide whatever the promises are. All the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen to us. But when they come into our life, they say, oh man, we had a miracle. But it really shouldn't be a miracle. It should be a daily occurrence. It should be the way that we walk as Christians. Hello? Like the message I've been preaching on Sunday, if it's a tree of life in us, it should be producing fruit all the time. Shouldn't be an amazing thing that you went out in your peach tree, produced a peach. Now, it may be an amazing thing that you got it ripe and into your house. The birds, the deer, whatever didn't eat it up, right? But it shouldn't be an amazing thing to just go and say, wow, there's a tree in my yard and it's producing peaches. If you planted it, it's there and it's fertilized, taken care of, it should produce. That's the way it should work, right? It shouldn't be miracles to us when God does things for us in our life and provides for us in our life. It should just be a daily occurrence. It should be living in the promises. But the problem is, a lot of times we as Christians, we're living in head faith, not heart faith. We've planted the seeds in our head. We've developed all the whole theory of why God's going to make the promises happen. And it's all been planted in our head. It's been planted in our intellect. You know that's what the Word says. You've heard preachers preach that's what the Word says. You can say that's what mama believed. But it's only faith when it's planted in your heart. It's a part of you. You know, remember when we looked at the scripture, it says that the Word of God has to become engrafted into. We talked about grafting and that it has to be a part of you, right? So you can have head faith where you just have looked at this whole thing. You can have head faith for good works. You're going to say, man, that's a really good thing. Do you know that more preachers in life have gotten off because they got into head faith? They wanted to do something. They wanted to be teachers if they were evangelists. They wanted to be evangelists if they were teachers. They wanted to go do this or go do that. And they got outside of what God had called them to do and they're trying to do it. And that's head faith. And when they get into head faith like that, there's going to be a disaster. Because when it really boils down to it, you don't believe it. And you can convince yourself and deceive yourself that you do believe it. You know, that's what deception is, right? You really believe it. But it ain't right. Right? And if you talk to somebody that's deceived, they really believe that what they're seeing is right. And unless they will be wanting truth, right? I mean, some of the most astounding things is if some of the young women that have become anorexic and they're standing in front of a mirror and they're just skin and bones and they think that they look great. And you say, no, you're skinny. This is not what you're supposed to look. You're not supposed to look like this. This is not healthy. And they say, oh, no, I look great. How do they get that away? Because they didn't yield onto the truth. They didn't hold onto the truth. They believed the lie. That's what the Bible says, that they believed the lie more than they believed the truth. And they were sold out and they were deceived. That's what deception is. Well, head faith is sort of like that. You've talked yourself into believing that what you believe is right, but it ain't right. And you know how you know it's not right? Because it doesn't bear forth fruit. There's no truth in it. It don't happen. You keep saying, oh yeah, God's so good. Look what he's doing. But your whole, everything is just, something got to change. It's head faith. It's not heart faith. The principle's not working. So, Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews 11, 1. You're already in the book of Hebrews. Head faith is the desire has developed in your head, not your heart, from your own words, not God's word. Did you hear what I said? It's your own words. It's not God's word. And the action that it produces will bring destruction, not blessing. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's as if you took the seed and a corn seed and you planted it, and when it sprouted and started to produce fruit, let's just say the sprout part of it was faith and the kernel part of it was hope. You with me? I mean, I know the seed's the word of God, but I'm just trying to make this point. There's a difference between hope and faith. Hope is you've read it in the scriptures. You know what the Bible says. You know what that word says. It's there. You read it. See, that's what God's word said. But you really don't see, well, I don't know how that's going to happen to me, Lord. Hope says, God, I see that your scriptures here say that we're to be, that you want to prosper me and bless everything that my hands touch. But God, everything my hands touch is just going to pieces. You see, you're getting hope because you're reading the scriptures, but you're not planting the seed in your heart so that it produces faith. Because faith is what's going to produce an action. Faith is what's going to cause your heart to produce something that you're motivated so that you know 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 that it's yours. And the greatest example of this is your salvation. Now listen to me. I don't do everything right. You may think I do, but I don't. I do not do everything right. I make mistakes. I blunder. I have to repent. But I want to tell you something. I know that if I died right now, I'm going to go to heaven. I'll even really throw this out crazy. Go get me a fifth of whiskey, put it down right here, and I'll drink some of it. If I walk out the door, get run over by a car, I'm still going to heaven. He ain't going to talk me out of my salvation. He said, oh, Pastor, come on. Just don't get all so legalistic here. I'm talking about, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven because the blood of Jesus washed my sins away. I know I'm right in heaven. I know I mess up on earth, but I'm right in heaven. You're not going to talk. How can I prove that to you? I can't. I got no paper. I got no etched glowing cross on the front of my head that has delivered me from heaven. And they say, oh, yeah, you see it. It's glowing there. He's got the mark. Right? I cannot prove that to you. I can't. I don't have the gold card from heaven. I don't have the key. I don't have the whatever. It's something that's inside of me that it's real. And you're not going to take it from me. Get a whole group of y'all all together and say, well, listen, Robert, you've done this, 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 and the Bible says this. And you come at me at all different angles. It ain't going to make any difference because I know that I know that I know that I had an experience with Jesus. I know he touched my life. I know he saved my soul. I know it's real. I know it. What is that called? It's faith. It's not out of my head. It's in my heart. You can't talk me out of it. But have you ever been trying to believe something and you're really standing on the promises, but then all of a sudden somebody comes to you and they start talking and somebody else talks to you, and before long they've talked you out of what you really believe. Or what you're believing kind of gets clouded and misfocused and misdirected, and you're like, well, do I really believe that or not? Hello? Well, what's happening is you really weren't in faith. You were in hope, maybe working towards faith. But the devil came immediately to steal the seed, the word that was sown in you, because he knows if it ever gets into faith, it's yours and there ain't nothing going to take it. And that process, this is what I keep trying to stress through all of these messages I've had. And I cannot tell you that I'm walking in it 100%. But I'm telling you, the process of getting into faith should not be difficult. It shouldn't be. How did you get saved? You heard the word and you believed, and boom, it happened. Wasn't a big complicated thing. Wasn't much you did about other than saying you believed in Jesus, right? So if something like that puts you into faith that you've been living, you know, for 30 years like that, well, then shouldn't it be the same when things get solidified in our heart by faith? But what happens is religious stinking doctrine talks us out of it. Do you know how many, if you just got, because I did it once and quit. When I was going through Bible college, I had to, you know, we had to study different denominations and different religions and look at all that stuff. And you get to look at everything that everybody believes. And if you put it all together and try to sort it all out, it just gets so confusing. It's just such a, you could just get so deceived so easily and fall over into some deception because there's a million people that believe it. But it's not truth. It's error. Our world right now today, I've never seen it like this. You can go on the internet and you go into a news site and there's one story that says it's this way, and the next story says it's that way, and the next story says it's this way, and the next story says it's that way, and it don't make any difference. They just run a white burro out in the middle of it. Somebody's going to come up. That thing was black when it came in, and then it got turned white, or there's going to be something that's going to come out of that thing that it turns it completely around. Y'all with me? And then you want to know what's really the truth because you're not there. You're just reading the article. You don't really know. You don't know what the truth is. Hello? You can listen to your favorite sportscaster on a sporting team. Okay? You know, whatever it be, the commentators on the football game. And before long, you're right with them. Yeah, that's right. But then the next week, there's going to be somebody else that they got up there. Who's the best? Who did this? Who's what? What? You see what I'm saying? It's just what people's opinion are. And I want to tell you something. You can't live by people's opinion. You can't live by what church doctrine says. You have to live by faith and knowing what the Word of God says. And it has to be in the now. It has to be active. It has to be what is real. And if it's not, it can be stolen from you. You're still in Hebrews 11, go back to Hebrews 4 again. Hebrews 4:12. It says the Word of God's living. It's not a word, it's not ink on paper. It says the Word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of the soul and the spirit and to the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. It's always alive, and it's let me put it this way. It's a seed that has good germination to it, and it will take root and it will produce faith if it's sowed and watered in the heart. But if it's sowed and watered in your head, you're producing head faith. And it's a false faith. It's not anything but your words being sown in there. Kind of scary, isn't it? I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm trying to talk about somebody specific, you know, so I'm just going to look right back up here at the air conditioner vent. Because I'm not. I'm just trying to use examples, but always get scared somebody's going to say, well, he's talking about me. Now, think about this. Think about the slight difference between vanity and knowing God loves you. In other words, worldly vanity to say, "Oh well, I really am somebody. I'm good. I'm special and I'm great because I am." You know? Am I right? Is that a good, pretty good description of vanity, right? But then, God's love says you are somebody special. You're amazing. I fearfully and wonderfully created you in your mother's womb. You are special. See, that's a pretty slight difference there. Worldly vanity is going to be false faith sowed in your head. It's going to take root in there, but you really don't believe it because the first time somebody comes against you and says, "Who do you think you are?" you fall to pieces. So the faith was produced in your head. Right? But when you really know God loves you and it's sowed in your heart, it's a faith in your heart and you it's just a part of you in your heart. Well, then somebody comes up and says, "You know, who do you think you are? I don't know, you know." And it doesn't even, you say, "Well, look, I'm just me. I'm a son of God. I'm born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And I'm sorry you're not happy, but, you know, get over it." Right? There's a difference. So vanity could just be a head faith that's sowed in you and it's not really real. How do you know? Because you crumble. Turn and just look at the person around you and smile at them real big and say, "I'm sure he's not talking about you." How about good works? Okay, you do good. You want to go do good, so you feel good about yourself because you know that good people do good things, and you want to go do it because you want to feel good about yourself, not because you're directed by God to go do something as His plan, His purpose for you to do. I mean, again, that's real close. That's real close. Real easy to get off there. But when it boils down to it, the only thing is it's just like Jesus said when I'm really paraphrasing here, but when the pot's boiling, okay? When the pot's boiling, it's all the fluff is burnt up. I'm really paraphrasing. When all the fluff is burnt off and what's left down in the pot, that's what's real. Amen. Right? When the furnace is turned on and the gold's melting, what's really left in the pot is the real stuff. The other is the dross that gets blown off. So how do you know if you're in faith or not? You know you're in faith because when you walk through a trial, you walk through a tribulation, do you still keep believing? You still walk forward? You still go on? And everything's there and it's not a head faith, it's a heart faith. It's what's causing you to live every day, put one foot in front of yourself every day to continue to go on and lead the life that you're doing every day. What you do and you read and you pray or whatever you believe is productive and it's in, and that's part of your life. So the word's alive, it's real, okay? It always works if it's applied. Now, I want to go back and touch on this about, it, you can turn there if you want to. It's Exodus chapter 16, verses 15 through 26. God keeps talking about this place you come into in life that when you know it's today that you enter into His rest. And I told y'all this last week, I like rest. Now, I like to work, and I like to accomplish tasks, and I like to do things, but I like to be doing it in peace. You know what the difference, you know what I'm talking about. You know, Henry, I want to go hang, I'm not going to help you hang sheetrock but, or throw up mud or anything, but I want to go do it. And be at peace doing it. I don't want somebody standing on my back yakking at me the whole time. And hurry up, we got to go faster. What are you doing? You know, that ain't no fun. Y'all with me? So I want to live my life at the pace that God has set for me. Not somebody else pushing hurrying, scurrying, hurrying me up. Because then I want to tell you something. You just get wore out. You just get burned up, wore out. You won't do anything. I want to live in that place of peace. Now, I can tell I'm not always there. I'm getting better at it. The older I get, the better I get at it. But I want to tell you something. I'm not always there, but I want to tell you something. I know the difference. Used to, it took me like 3/4 of the day to catch it. Now I'm like, I smell it right off the bat. Hey, just stop. Hold on. I don't want to go there. I don't want to. It'll all work out. Just don't worry. You know, we'll tackle that thing tomorrow. Just quit messing with it. And God talks about a place of rest for us that we can live our life like that in faith. That we get so in Him and so into that zone of faith that it's just rest to us because, oh, okay, we got a problem over here. Okay, well, Lord, we can get that fixed. I don't like problems. I wish I never had to deal with any of them in my life. Anybody with me on that? You know, it'd be kind of nice. Wouldn't it? But the reality is, it isn't going to happen. Not until we get to heaven. Not till we get to heaven. So we've got to find faith and the rest of faith that can sustain us through this place of peace in the midst of everything that's going on. Am I right? So in Exodus, he talks about the manna. And we looked at this last week too, but you know, he says, so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Now, what is it in Hebrew is manna. So they called it, you know, what is it? What is it? Let's go get some what is it. Right? Every morning, honey, did you get enough what is it today? They didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. It never was there. It never had ever, this ever happened. They gathered it up and they went and made it. But they could only take what was for their household and their family for that day. If they tried to gather more because they were scared that tomorrow it might not show up, that took them out of faith. And so when they got it, it would spoil. It'd be spoiled the morning. Can you imagine? Listen to me. What do you think? Listen, let me put it this way. What do you think? Do you think that after, I mean, they ate manna for 40 years. 40 years. That's a long time to try to get something into you, right? You know what I'm saying? 40 years. It was always 40 years is a long time to be repetitiously doing something every morning. You would think you would get it down. But they didn't. Because the Bible says, God said, they never got in faith. I got to kill out the whole lot of them and start with their children. Because they can't get it in their heads. Every morning when they woke up, they went out there and they gathered it up. And the next day they didn't know if it was going to be there. And they worried about it. And the next day it was there. And they went to bed that night, and the next morning they were worried if it was going to be there. And what is it was there? And they gathered up a pot of what is it and ate and worried that what is it wasn't going to be there tomorrow. That's a sad way to live life. What a vacation it could have been. I'm planning with all of my heart. I've never wanted to go to Israel this next year. I'm just declaring I'm going to Israel. There's some things I want to see. I've never done it. I don't know what the Sinai Desert looks like, but there's bound to have been some pretty things around there. And you're just living in your tent, and the Bible says your shoes didn't wear out, your clothes didn't wear out. You had water that came out of a rock. It followed you. It was just trotting along out there all the time. You talk about make you think you're crazy. Every time you looked up, there was the rock. It watered a whole million people, and what is it was there every morning? What a vacation. They wanted to go back to Egypt, though, they said, and let the taskmasters beat on them. And they wanted that toil and all because there, for some reason, in the warpness of that, they found security. And folks, I want to tell you something. I don't want to find security in my pain. I want to find security and rest in my God. Hello? And we think, oh, that was, you know, they must have been the stupidest people on earth. Really? Aren't we like that? I mean, truthfully, aren't we like that? Don't we go from fear to fear, from fear to fear, instead of from faith to faith, from faith to faith? The problem rises up, and oh, my God! It takes us months to get over it, and we get down and try to get faith and get going. Go to church, everybody's got to pray for us, everybody's got to get it built up. Oh, God, we're going to be good. Oh, you finally get to where you can skim over it, and then something else happens. Ah! And we're just living from fear to fear to fear to fear. We're not living from faith to faith. Saying, oh, my God, I'll take that, take care of that. That's Goliath, that little guy? Oh, he'll knock his head off. Because we see everything as the way it should go. We look at it with our eyes and we say, no, it's got to go this way. That would be the right way to go. But we don't know what the right way is in a fallen world. Hello? So we've got to come to that place that we're not like the children of Israel. Every morning in fear, open up the door to see if what is it's there. We've got to wake up every morning, read our Bible, and just grow in our faith and get more and stronger and say, well, oh! Wake up in the morning, walk out the door and say, you want a piece of me? I'm a giant killer by the Holy Ghost. You want some of this? But it's got to be in your heart, not in your head. And say, oh, I hope nobody heard me. You know what I mean? Because see, it's head faith. Then you don't have the real, you're not really believing it. It's just head faith. So you really don't want anything to happen. You're just talking the talk, but you ain't about to go to Fifth City for the word. Right? That's why those, you know, I've told you, I always get so mad in the movies where they always have the priest, he goes in with a, you know, a cross and his collar and everything, and he goes in to do some exorcism, and the head spins around three times. They throw up green stuff all over him, tear all of his clothes off of him, beat him up, and throw him out the window, right? And it just always infuriates me that happens like that. That Hollywood just wants to make it always look like the devil's more powerful than God. But sometimes, even in my own self, I have felt like that. Like, oh, yeah, give me the cross. I'll take care of this thing. And then I get thrown up on and spit out the window because I didn't really believe it to start out with. I'll be honest with you, it's happened to me before. You know, I told you about the time that, you know, when Joseph was a little boy, broke his arm, and compound fractures, just horrible, and we had to take him in, and had to have an orthopedic surgeon set it, and went through all this stuff, and then God did a miracle, and we went to leave, and they said, y'all are so, you know, well, you're a minister? And I said, yeah, and it was at St. Luke's there in San Antonio, and they said, well, we just got a grant in for ministers, and it just is only good for 5 days, and you fall right in the spot, and so your bill's paid for. Here, just sign this deal, and it's all paid for. So, man, I went out of that hospital, swelled up. Man, I mean, my head was 10-gallon hat couldn't have got on me. Man, my God, I was prancing, I was shouting, I was telling the devil how he, you know, lost this deal and tried to do this. Why? I mean, I'm going everywhere in the world with this. And then about 3 days later, I get this letter in the mail, and it's from the anesthesiologist. Now, why this yahoo couldn't have thrown his bill in with everybody else? And I'm thinking, you know, ha, yeah. And Laura hadn't even opened it. She just left it for me when I came home. And she said, here, you know, this is still on. I said, oh, man, my God, take care of this. And my God can do this. I go to boasting and bouncing around like an old banny rooster. I opened that thing up. And I remember it's $450-something. And in those days, $450 was, I mean, that was like almost 2 weeks of work for me. And I was like, my heart sank, fell, started crying. Oh, God, what are we going to do for it? I'm not going to ever get this thing made for it. And I thought, you stupid. You just saw God deliver you from the whole big mess, and you're already falling out of faith. See, look at you. You didn't really believe what you were mouthing anyway. So that's one of the things that started me on live about learning about God's prosperity. What happened, you know? And I don't remember. I finally got in faith, and I don't remember what happened. I took a guy hunting. That's what it was. And he tipped me over half the bill. And then something else happened, and somebody tipped me some more. And I ended up with more money than I'd had to start out with. Money left over. Had $100 left over and paid the bill. But it took me a couple of weeks to get in faith because I realized that I really wasn't. It was all in my head. Not till I hit a trial did I really know where I was. You see, and that's life. That's how we live. You're going to hit those hard places. You're going to hit those things. And you got to figure out if it's in your head or in your heart. And if it's not in your heart, you got to get it there. And you got to quit going to the door every morning fearful that the what is it isn't there. What is it's gone. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one that has to die in the wilderness because I can't go into the promised land. I don't necessarily have to be the first one crossing the river. I'm not in a race to get to the other side quicker than anybody else so I can say, I was the first one into the promised land. I just want to get in the promised land. Right? I don't care if I'm the last one in. I just want to walk into the promised land and believe God's promises and walk in what he's got for me. Amen? So check yourselves. Check yourselves and look at yourself. Where are you at? Is it in your head? Is it in your heart? Is it today in your life? Or is it coming for tomorrow? Is it hope? Or is it faith? Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, well, I really like that. It's good. Praise God.